Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
It's not always easy to see what is coming at you, or better yet, for you. You need someone in your corner who can help you navigate those blind spots. Life Coach Ade has a unique ability to guide you toward clarity with compassionate coaching and an amazing sense of humor. As a coach for over 15 years, Life Coach Ade has been working closely with people and freeing them to live their best life. If you are in a spot where your best friend's advice or family member's tips are not working for you, you want to step onto the playing field of life with a coach who will walk with you and support you in tapping into the best in you. When you are done with Life Coach Ade, you will be the change you want to see. We'll give you practical tools to finally embrace all of you and empower you to step into your greater yet to be. For a 45 minutes complimentary session, email Life Coach Ade at ask@lifecoachade.com. That's ASK@LIFECOACHADE.com or call 678-561-0607. That's 678-561-0607. Be still, listen, and be transformed.
This presence is everywhere. Love is everywhere. Peace is everywhere. Joy is everywhere. These are eternal qualities, not merely the absence of conflict. These are eternal qualities that are real, but they need instrumentalities through which to express truth.
From Agape International Spiritual Center in Los Angeles, California, a visionary, author, one of the teachers of The Secret.
Everything is energy. Energy is never destroyed, never created, and it becomes exactly what you put your attention on. And there's enough for everyone.
Dr. Michael Bernard Beckwith and Ricky Byers Beckwith are coming to Atlanta's Hillside International Truth Center with Living from the Overflow, How to Embody a Consciousness of Wealth, Saturday, September 7th.
So we are not here to beg God to come down and give us a miracle. You are the miracle. You're the miracle already. And the present is waiting for you to up-level your filaments, your wattage, so that which is potential, that is everywhere, can have access so that you can express it.
This soul-filled, thought-provoking workshop will teach you ways to cultivate a spiritual understanding of authentic wealth, how to activate the law of abundance in all areas of your life, how to set your intention and focus your attention, your ticket to transformation. Michael Bernard Beckwith at Hillside, Saturday, September 7th. Tickets are only $42, representing Hillside's 42nd anniversary. Get tickets and more at hillsideinternational.org.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Relationship Show with Kate McTeer.
Hello.
Can you hear the music?
I can.
Don't you think that's beautiful music?
It's fantastic music.
That's Robert Newton III, and that's called Sherry.
Did the first and second write such good music, had they?
I think that they weren't brave enough. I think the third was the one who said, I'm going to do this for our family.
Fantastic.
Yes, good afternoon, listeners. You listen to Live Conversations Radio, and this is the Relationship Show with Kate McTeer. And I'm just a sidekick.
You're not just the sidekick, Ado. We couldn't do without you. But I thought to kick off today's show, I'd stun you with a few statistics, actually, about relationships and relationship breakdown.
Week, yeah.
That's right, we were. And I sort of dug out some more because, you know, good, close, solid relationships is something we all so much want, isn't it? And it so affects our lives if we don't have this. But when you actually look at the statistics, the reality is that literally thousands of us are not enjoying relationship health, okay? In 2005, there were 165,000 divorces. Now that makes, if I've added my sums up right, 330,000 divorcees. Now that's just divorces. You know, that doesn't in any way give us any idea of how many cohabiting relationships are actually breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a huge, huge number of people.
And then there's children involved.
There's children involved as well. That's right. So the relationships that they're having with their parents and the relationships that they then go on to form are being affected by that. So promoting relationship health is such an important thing. Now go on, try a guess on me, okay? How much do you think that costs us as a country?
Ooh.
Money. How much money?
300,000. Yeah. Money-wise, I would say, on a yearly basis?
On a yearly basis, Ade, what do you reckon?
That's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
I would say, my first guess was 2 million, but I thought, nah, maybe about 10 million.
Ade, you just have no idea, man. It is 15 billion pounds. I so wish that everybody listening to this could be in the studio right now because I've never seen Ade's face go so blank.
And they've never heard me be so quiet.
£15 billion per annum.
God.
That's £11 per week for every taxpayer is spent in this country supporting people because of divorce. Now, again, if you think in terms of how much it probably really is, I mean, that's the recorded figure.
Right.
But the fact is, if you think of all the people who are going through cohabiting relationships that break down, they're going to need support as well. So, you know, relationship health really couldn't be more important to us because as people we suffer so extraordinarily if our relationships break down, but as a nation we're suffering so extraordinarily as well.
Mm. It's expensive.
It's incredibly expensive. So, you know, bad relationships are affecting us absolutely dreadfully as a nation, but we don't have to keep on like this. It doesn't have to stay that way.
But
having had a bad relationship doesn't mean having to keep having bad relationships.
And two things, that's a good point you just made, but I wouldn't say, do we spend anywhere near this amount to prevent, to create a healthy relationship?
That is a very good question, and I have to say off the top of my head, I don't know. I mean, certainly we have a national agency which does actually provide support to people who need couple counselling, that's Relate, and so a great deal of government money goes into that.
Okay.
And there are a huge number of programs that are available for family support, and that's a very strong part of the government's agenda and commitment. In terms of sort of direct divorce recovery programs or relationship recovery programs, there's a lot of people out there like ourselves who are doing this very much on a voluntary basis.
Right.
Wow. And that means that, you know, we're actually helping prop up government agencies, because they're not having to pay for us directly.
Wow. You can save them some money.
We certainly can. And this is one of the messages that we very much want to promote to sort of agencies and government sources, is that actually the work that we do through the Aquila Care Trust, which is an agency that's directly involved in supporting people going through relationship breakdown, is incredibly cost effective.
I'm looking at this figure, 15 billion, and I'm thinking, how much of that 15 billion comes to Aquila as a underfunding?
Absolutely none. Absolutely zilch. I mean, in fairness, we were funded by the Lord Chancellor's department for 3 years, and that helped us set up our central office, and it helped us expand our services within the UK. But at this current time, we do not have a government grant, because the focus of government grants in this area is very much on family support, and our support at the moment from their perspective, is targeted on individuals. Now, the fact that supporting individuals helps the family is something which, you know, seems to have passed them by at the moment. That's the way it is. And so we're dependent very much on external grants and from donations from our own members to keep going. But that's charity life. Charity life is very much like that.
It's an interesting thing because I think of things like that. When you think of the word charity, love.
Yeah.
And if we treat charity like that, we treat love like that, or how we treat in charities, is that a reflection of how we love ourselves?
That's a very interesting point, actually. And it's a great shame that people have come to associate the word charity with
begging.
Yeah, begging. I'm a poor, sad person and I need your charity.
Right.
Actually, what charities, not just us, but a whole number of different voluntary organisations are doing is out of their passion and concern for a certain group of people, usually that passion and concern being fired by personal experience.
Mm.
You know, they're trying to provide relevant, helpful, on-the-spot support. And as you say, that's a form of love.
It is.
And there is nothing like being supported by people who have been through the same thing that you've been through, because they understand where you are and they understand the needs that you've got. So, you know, I think we ought to love our charities a bit more in this country than we do. And, you know, funding them would be good.
It would be even better.
It would be, yes. I'll get off my soapbox.
well, we're going to come back to the statistics because some of the things that I know you do, you know, you have about, 300,000 divorcees.
Mm-hmm.
Part of your work is helping people who have been through this experience.
That's
or
right.
gone through this experience.
That's right.
And you offer different trainings, Breakthrough.
That's right. Breakthrough is our main support program. And we're actually going to be talking today to one of our facilitators who leads Breakthrough when it runs as a residential weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We actually run it a number of different formats. In local areas, we run it as an 8-week course.
Okay.
But because we can't have local groups everywhere at the moment, because we don't have the funding, coming back to that, you can see a running theme here.
Someone said, I saw that coming.
Because we can't have a group in every town, what we do is we also offer the course as a residential weekend so that people from all over the UK can access what we do. And Sally Clifton, who we'll be speaking to later, runs those residential weekend programs. I have also done them myself, and they are terrific. The Breakthrough course is an absolutely terrifically helpful course, and there's something particularly special, I think, about the residential weekend, because there's something about going away from your normal environment and sharing together with other people in close quarters for a weekend that causes you to bond and causes you, I think, to go into things in a much deeper level than you do in any other time or way. So they're very special groups. And what we're going to be talking to Sally about very much is the sort of things that we would cover in Breakthrough, the sort of format that Breakthrough takes, and the kind of impact, really, that Breakthrough has had on people.
Breakthrough. I like the name.
Yes. It started off with a very unimaginative name, actually, Ade.
Which was
Phase One.
Phase one.
So, you know, the idea being that after Breakthrough, we then have this social program which provides ongoing support to people who've been on the Breakthrough and then want to stay in touch with people who they did the course with.
Mm.
Well, that was phase two, wasn't it? And, you know, we decided, you know, phase one, phase two, it wasn't sexy, really, was it?
No.
It didn't really describe what we did.
People come for association, what phase are you on? I'm on phase six. Have you met anybody yet? No, I haven't, but when I get to eight, I'm sure I have somebody by then. And then when they do breakthrough!
That's right, they do breakthrough. And when they've done breakthrough, then they go on to pass, you see? We'd love to have a lot more programs. We'd love to have Breakthrough Extra, because the sort of things that we cover in Breakthrough, and it really is the main emotional and practical issues that people are facing as they're going through a relationship breakdown. We can't go into those in as much depth as we'd like to. They're huge subjects, and as I say, Sally will be talking a bit more about those. But they're huge subjects, and what we would like is to have a sort of a Breakthrough Extra where people can maybe explore just one of those subjects in a lot more depth. So, and that's something certainly in Aquila that we're working on doing and making much more of our Plus program,
mm-hmm.
so that Plus is both social activity and a chance to maintain the links that you've made,
mm.
but Plus is also about the opportunity to develop yourself further.
Right.
And really, breakthrough is not just about picking up the pieces after your relationship breaks down, but it's actually about turning that situation around and realizing you've still got so much both to give and to live for.
Mm.
And that's what people coming through relationship breakdown really need,
mm.
is the belief that there can be relationship health out
right.
there for them again.
Right.
Hope is something you really do lose when your relationship breaks down.
Yes, and I think it's one of the things you said earlier before I asked you a question about 10 minutes ago, when you were saying just because your relationship broke down doesn't mean the next one have to break.
That's right.
You can actually educate yourself.
You can. And I think this is something that people in this country fundamentally don't understand, that they have this feeling that relationships either go right or they go wrong. They're
mm.
either meant to be
right.
or they're not.
Or they're your soulmate.
Or they're not.
Right.
Or I, you know, Miss X down the road has just got it and I just haven't.
Right.
And actually, it's not like that. The health
Far
of
it.
Your relationship is so dependent on you
mm-hmm.
and your outlook and what you bring and how you decide to respond to situations. And so, you know, the fact that things have gone wrong doesn't mean they have to continue to be. And I think for me, in my own sort of personal journey, the bit where things really began to turn round was when I began to understand that the various difficult circumstances I had been through were not just all very unfortunate incidents that happened to have fallen in my life. And I'm not saying that unfortunate incidents don't fall into your life from time to time, but, you know, it wasn't just about that. It was actually
right.
about things that I was doing
mm-hmm.
that actually were not helping me any. And I could choose to be different.
Right.
And actually, that was a terrifically exciting moment when I discovered that, because I realized I could actually shape my future.
And that leaves you, I mean, even your program that you call Breakthrough,
yes.
That's a good name for a program like that, because the idea, for I think we know instinctively that what is happening around us, we're part of the creation of it.
Yes.
And so when someone, if a relationship breaks down and someone's offered the opportunity to go through breakthrough,
yes.
I think someone will be like, ooh, I don't know.
That's right.
Because it means I'm going to have to take a look at myself.
That's right. It can be very threatening for
yes.
some people to do that. They don't actually want to have to face that there might be issues that need resolving. They just want the next relationship.
Yes.
Having said all this, Ade, I think it's important to stress, because I'm aware that people listening to the show will be coming from many different circumstances,
right.
is that sometimes things in your background and things that do come into your life can shape you very, very deeply, and unpicking some of that can be enormously difficult. And,
yes.
you know, I'm particularly thinking of people perhaps who have had very, very abusive childhoods to just come along and say, well, you know, you just got to make some choices and look at these.
Yeah.
It's not quite that simple. but what I think you can say is that there is help available. There are people who are willing to give you the tools that you need to unpick the situations that you have experienced as much as you possibly can.
Right.
And you can choose whether to take hold of those tools or whether not to.
That's it.
And that's the thing. There is no grand fix to life that suddenly makes everything okay. But you do have choices about, do I want to begin to make
yeah.
a difference, or do I just want to remain a victim to these things forever?
Yeah, and Breakthrough sounds to me like a program that allows people to actually see that you do have a choice.
Yes, that we stress this
yeah.
very much, because many people coming out of relationship breakdown feel that their partner did things to them.
Mm.
And they'll be very tangible things. It's very difficult to ignore your partner having left you.
Yes.
That is something they did. It impacts on you.
Mm-hmm.
It impacts on you in a way you didn't want it to.
Right.
But it's very easy, by focusing on that, to miss that you have still been in there somewhere. You've been inputting into that relationship as well. You've
right.
been making choices as well. And one choice that you can make is to say, well, X may have done that to me,
right.
but I don't have to live in the light of that forever.
That's it. Yes.
They may have chosen to do that, but do I have to let the rest of my life be destroyed as a result?
Mm.
So that, you know, there are things that your partner will do to you, But you can still choose what you do to yourself.
Yes, yes.
And that's
yes.
where the choice remains.
Yeah. In the breakthrough, do people actually get an opportunity to look at how they're being, how they're living their life, what is costing them, and the payoff? Because sometimes, you know, the whole thing about choice, the work we do, people say, I don't have any choice. But then
yes.
when you try and get, when you get them to see, paint the picture and saying, well, really, even not choosing is a choice.
Yes.
You're choosing
yes.
not to choose.
That's right. It's very much this kind of approach that we take. And also, I mean, for example, one thing that people find hugely difficult, very understandably, is that when their partner leaves them, actually being able to forgive that and let go of that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I mean, I'm not in any way pointing the finger at people. Being left was not the circumstance of my marriage and breakdown, and I don't know how I would actually react if it had been. But the point is, if you choose not to forgive, there are consequences attached to that for you. Unforgiveness is a terrifically destructive thing. And at the end of the day, the person who gets most affected by unforgiveness is actually yourself.
That's
and
it.
So when you say to somebody, you know, do you feel that you could ever actually just let this go? And they say, I couldn't ever do that. I couldn't, you know, I could never.
Yeah.
But then you have to say, but do you realise what the consequences of not letting go are going to be?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very hard course, very hard to let go, terrible cost associated with letting go.
Yeah.
But there's also a cost associated with not letting go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's those kind of things. And they're not easy things.
Because the participant have to look for themselves.
That's right.
What they're willing to give, what they're willing to let go and say, okay, I think this has cost me too much.
Yes.
I mean, because you might, I don't know, but if I was doing a workshop and someone said, no, I really need this, this is what's keeping my life going, not forgiving, then I have to say, well, hold on to it.
Mm.
But at the same time, showing them that whole, because it's almost like drinking poison and saying, I can't believe they put poison in my food. Now I'm having to keep drinking poison for the rest of my life.
Yes.
And you say, well, and if I stop drinking, then I'm trying to say there. It's like, oh, well, hold on. You're the one doing the drinking now, because that whole energy, the thought and everything, you're the one holding it. That
That's
anger
right.
affects your whole physical being.
And the thing about, I was just about to start a sentence that day, and I've done it again. This happens to me a lot at the moment. I just forget what I was going to say. There's a really profound thought in there that's just been lost to all eternity.
It usually happens. I don't think you're as bad as me. I'll call somebody, and I'm thinking of different things, and the minute they answer, hello, I'm like, who did I just call? And I have to think who I called, but anyway.
I remember what it was. That was great. Thank you. You gave me the space there. I think people often see forgiveness as the same as condoning or saying that was okay, what you did to me was okay. Forgiveness is not the same as saying that was okay. Forgiveness is saying what you did to me was not okay, but I am not going to hold you in debt to me for it.
Right. I'm going to love myself enough.
I'm going to love myself enough to say, if that's what you want to do, you do it. You live with that.
Yes. But I'm making a different choice about my life.
That's right.
It doesn't happen immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the experiences I had once, a while back, I don't know, 8 years ago or something, I had a way of seeing my brother, what he should be doing. He was older than me, and I had just had this, I was like my parents. I was saying, he should be doing this, I should be able to go to him for money and that, and I had all these ideas in my head. But one day I had to confront my judgment of him. And really, just I forgave myself for even thinking those thoughts, as opposed to say that was horrible. And what it did for me was it transformed my relationship with my brother.
Yes.
Because I was willing to let go, and I did let go of the thought of what I think he should be for me.
Yes. I mean, we had the story of Jim and Annette Wheeler, the founder members of Aquila, and I think that, you know, that their story, where effectively both of their partners left them for each other.
Yes.
And then Jim and Annette met each other.
Right.
And that's such a story. It's an extraordinary story. You've got this sort of bizarre form of wife swap.
Right.
Just outrageous.
Way before Channel 4.
Absolutely. I mean, the Wheelers were always an innovative couple. But they chose to forgive. And that has opened up a whole possibility of relationship between the children and between all of them that otherwise would never have been possible.
Yes.
And it's not easy.
No.
I don't imagine even now that Jim and Annette find it easy or that their ex-spouses find it easy. But they have made things possible, constructive things possible, that otherwise simply couldn't have been. Forgiveness very much is not a once-done thing. It's something you have to work at, something you have to keep coming back to. But at the end of the day, it's a choice that you make.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, before we take a break, I think it's time to bring in Sally.
Okay.
Let's bring Sally in, and we go from there. She's a coordinator, right?
That's right. She's one of Aquila's coordinators. She runs our breakthrough courses in residential weekend format. She's going to be running one for us very soon at a place called Penhurst, which is very near to Hastings.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it would be good to have a chat with her and let her tell us really what breakthrough involves and how it can impact people. So, Sally, can you hear me there?
Oh,
you
yes.
Can.
You might have been nervous.
What a fantastic clear voice that was coming down the line there. You have no idea how delighted we are to
yes.
hear you. Sally, you've already run some of our weekend courses. Can you begin to give people who are listening some idea of how it's actually structured over the weekend? What sort of time would a weekend course start and how would it run? Okay. 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 Okay, so people aren't required to share anything they don't want to at all? No. But, you know, what you were saying there about when people contribute, they do seem to get more from it, don't they? And that's certainly been my experience also in running courses, that if people are sharing more, it seems to impact on them more. Yeah. How long are each of the sessions? I mean, is it sort of continuous or...? Okay. How do the coordinators actually then lead the course, Sally? Is it mainly that they're speaking from the front and people can chip in, or is it a group discussion, or do they do exercises, or what happens? Fairly scary, because presumably if you've got a group of people there, every time you run a course you're going to have a different group of people. That discussion presumably then could go anywhere. Yes. 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 Do you find that people often start agreeing with one another? If somebody says, you know, oh, I felt like so and so, somebody else in the room will suddenly pop up, oh, crumbs, that's just how I felt too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's that kind of shared experience that really does seem to make these weekends so good, doesn't it? What do people do in the evening, Sally? I mean, there you are, all, you know, head-to-head during the day in these very, sharing in a very personal kind of way. What do you do in the evenings? That was a very telling laugh. Right.
It's just the time, you know, what the same way people want to sort of relax and reflect on, you know, what they've been experiencing on the course during the day.
Yeah. I just want to pick up on the word there that you used about the venues that we run our residential weekends in, because you use the word homely. Some of our residential weekend venues actually are stunning, aren't they? I mean, I'm thinking you can't agree with me here, I'm suddenly realising, because you've not yet been, but down to Rottnail Manor Farm, where we run in Devon, is a fabulously beautiful venue. And the place where you're going to be running your next weekend course in Penhurst is a fabulous manor house set in its own grounds. So, you know, what you're saying about a place to take time out and actually reflect, Aquila works very hard to find venues that really do offer the kind of setting for that. I think you went to one last year, didn't you, Sally, in Hawthorpe Hall?
Yes,
it was fantastic.
Yes, and the lovely gardens with beautiful ponds. And certainly, as a female, I often feel that water is a lovely thing to help.
Yes, yes. So can we just talk a little bit more about the sort of material that we cover? I mean, you mentioned there about children's issues, which must be a hugely live issue for so many of our course participants. Yes. Something else we tend to look at as well is this session on returning to singleness. What does that look at?
That's sort of different for different people, I think.
Because it's very different, isn't it, to return to singleness when you're no longer in sort of your late teens or early 20s. Yes. And how do you, on Breakthrough, help people with the whole issue of getting stuck? Because you can get terribly, before you came on air, Ade and I were just talking about the whole issue of forgiveness and unforgiveness. You can get terrifically stuck in bitterness, can't you, following a relationship breakdown? Do you feel the course addresses that? Yes. Yes. One of the focuses that we very much have on the show here is about relationship health. And I think it can often be perceived that a relationship recovery program is very much about just picking up the pieces. Do you feel that Breakthrough actually promotes relationship health for the future?
I certainly do, yes. That's an area I feel particularly committed to, I think.
Okay, in what way? Yep.
In progress, you know, sort of work in progress, and I think it's terribly important, you know, especially when you're going through a really difficult time, to make time for yourself and be kind to yourself.
Yes.
Give yourself space to recover and blossom and perhaps, you know, discover parts of yourself that you've not been able to really develop and allow to grow before, and then kind of see perhaps the opportunity in the situation. I know it's really hard to start with, but
it does get easier, doesn't it? I mean, and I think this is one of the important things that we offer through Aquila. I mean, you and I are talking here from the perspective of being two women who have been through the experience and come out the other side. And all of our coordinators, that's true of them. They've all been through the experience and come out the other side. It's actually being able to give people the hope that things do change, don't they? And that you do begin to emerge from this really very excruciatingly painful situation. Okay. I mean, obviously, listening to you talk, it's very clear you have a passion for people's self-development, you have a passion for seeing people grow, you've obviously got a lot of commitment to breakthrough as a course. How exactly did you actually decide to become a coordinator? I mean, you can see all your energy and your interest in it now. How did you actually decide to do it, Sally? Right. Just stay on the line with us for a little while, will you? We just need to take a commercial break, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes just to talk to you a little bit longer. Thank you.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Husson. When I created OneToListen.com, I envisioned a service that could offer immediate relief from the dilemmas of daily life on demand. I knew that many of you have been hurt by similar services on the internet because I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and I know that when you're hurt, the promise of a fix sounds irresistible, regardless of who's offering. The advisors at OneToListen.com are extraordinary, not because they've endured weeks of observation and testing, but because they promise to make their work here their number one priority. That means you will be speaking to someone who's here for you. We're not a perfect service, but we believe becoming a perfect service starts with having the courage to strive for perfection. I am Mark Husson, and 12listen.com and the 12 family are my purpose. Give us a try. And if you've tried us before, try again, because I'm convinced that life is better when you don't feel alone. Thank you.
This presence is everywhere. Love is everywhere. Peace is everywhere. Joy is everywhere. These are eternal qualities, not merely the absence of conflict. These are eternal qualities that are real, but they need instrumentality through which to express truth.
From Agape International Spiritual Center in Los Angeles, California, a visionary, author, one of the teachers of The Secret.
Everything is energy. Energy is never destroyed, never created, and it becomes exactly what you put your attention on. And there's enough for everyone.
Dr. Michael Bernard Beckwith and Ricky Byers Beckwith are coming to Atlanta's Hillside International Truth Center with Living from the Overflow, How to Embody a Consciousness of Wealth, Saturday, September 7th.
So we are not here to beg God to come down and give us a miracle. You are the miracle. You're the miracle already. And the presence is waiting for you to up-level your filaments, your wattage, so that that which is potential, that is everywhere, can have access so that you can express it.
This soul-filled, thought-provoking workshop will teach you ways to cultivate a spiritual understanding of authentic wealth, how to activate the law of abundance in all areas of your life, how to set your intention and focus your attention, your ticket to transformation. Michael Bernard Beckwith at Hillside, Saturday, September 7th. Tickets are only $42, representing Hillside's 42nd anniversary. Get tickets and more at hillsideinternational.org.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Okay, so we've got Sally Clifton, who is a coordinator of the Aquila Care Trust, here with us in the studio. She's actually down a telephone line. We'll let you in on the secret. And Sally's been talking to us about running our weekend courses. She's going to be running a course coming up for us fairly soon in Penhurst, which is near Hastings. Sally, we were just talking before the break there about how you decided to become a coordinator with Aquila. I just want to sort of really just ask you briefly. We talked to Annette Wheeler, obviously you know Annette, one of our founder members, about how she and Jim came to establish Aquila in the first place. And I asked her the question, what she thought were the key steps for someone who was wanting to recover healthily from a broken relationship. You know, what advice she would give. And her response was that it's really very important to be realistic in the situation, to recognise what is really happening and to face that. I was just interested in, you know, would you go with that? Is there anything that you would particularly want to add to that? Yes. 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 I think that's a very important point, if I can just sort of grab hold of that and run with that a little bit, because one of the things certainly that we do on the course is that we get course members to look through what we call the Eleanor Kubler-Ross grief curve, don't we? Now, Eleanor Kubler-Ross was a psychologist who did a lot of research into the whole area of grief and how people respond to it, and she basically defined a curve of different emotions that people go through and can go through at different paces and speeds, but which, if gone through healthily, bring a person out back into peace and acceptance. And something we often say on the course is it's not actually a straightforward route round, is it? It's a little bit of a roller coaster, wiggling around all over the place. That's really what you're saying, isn't it? Three steps forward and nine steps back. Yes. Can you just tell us, Sally, what impact have you seen breakthrough having on course participants?
Quite varied, I think. I think for people's response will be influenced to some extent by their situation.
Yep. Right.
I can only think of maybe one person who said he really didn't find it helpful.
Yes.
I think most people, certainly, the feedback you get on evaluation forms does indicate that everyone is helped to some extent.
Yes.
For some people, it can be a really life-changing experience.
Yes.
For some people, of course, if they're able, they go on and become coordinators themselves.
That's right.
Benefiting from the ongoing support, the friends that they make on courses,
yes. Yes. Yes, certainly a sense. Sorry, certainly a sense that I get from some of the courses I've run is just the comfort that comes from the weekend or the course itself. Yes.
Giving people feeling that, they can cope.
Yes.
Finding the tools, where to go from here.
Yes. Sally, it's been lovely talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on the line. And, wish you all the best for the next course that you run.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
That was Sally...
Clifton.
Sally Clifton.
Yep. Very special lady with a great deal of commitment to people's self-development.
Yes.
And, you know, which obviously came across in everything she had to say.
Definitely. There. And just the things that she was saying, you saw me nodding my head.
Yeah.
I mean, talking about we're working progress.
And that's right.
If we can take that approach in everything that we do, we'll be gentle with ourselves.
I think actually that is the key to so much stress-free living, I think, is the way that I would put it. That the problem often, and certainly this is something I've been very guilty of in my own life, is assuming that what I am now is what I'll always be.
Mm.
And you know, therefore, as you face your failures, it's like this is the sum total that is Kate, or this is the sum total that is Ade.
Yeah.
But the danger also is that we then do the same thing with other people, is we look at them and what we see they are at a given point is what we assume they will always be.
Mm.
And actually I think what becomes very exciting in life is when you do actually see people make quite dramatic changes and you begin to see yourself make quite dramatic changes, you realise that whatever you're facing in life at a given point that perhaps you feel very negative about or very discouraged by doesn't have to stay that way.
Mm-hmm.
I find the concept of being a work in progress a terrifically empowering and exciting one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And as you talk, I think of the power perception, because really what you focus on gets bigger. And the whole thing, sometimes, like I use the example of when you lose your keys in the house. You say, I have my keys in my hand just now. I'm sure I had it right here. And you're looking everywhere. You can't find it. And then you say, oh, gosh, what happened? And maybe a phone rings. You pick up the phone. And say, oh, we're just going out, but I can't find my keys. And you put the phone down. You might just look to your right, and the keys were right where. And you said, I looked. So it's like how we treat ourselves.
Yes.
We think, oh, this is who we are. We focus on the negative side. Oh, I can't believe everybody's seen it. I bet they're thinking about this and that. But really, once we change our perspective about who we are and say, hold on a minute, this is just a phase I'm going through.
Something I've found very interesting and have had calls to discuss with friends very recently, actually, Ade, has been the issue of actually how badly we perceive ourselves. I'm thinking of two people in particular recently who've basically indicated to me that they have the interpersonal skills of a brick. They happen to be two of the most warm, charming, friendly, open people I know.
Wow.
Both of whom I felt immediately comfortable with as a person with the interpersonal skills of a brick. You know, you have people telling you they have no confidence when in fact they make you feel intimidated.
Yeah, right.
You know, people's self-perception usually is so terribly wrong.
Mm.
And I think in Britain, we've talked about sort of cultural issues and how it affects our perception before, but I think in Britain, again, we're very bad at hearing other people telling us what they see in us and actually accepting that and allowing that affirmation, for want of a better word, actually impact
and believe it.
Understand that what they're seeing is something very real in us. They're not just flattering us or saying it to be nice, but they can see something in us that we can't see in ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny when I know I've seen experience with people making judgment about someone and saying that person's so this and so that. People get wound up.
Yes.
And I say to them, there's a part of you that believes that. But if you give people compliments, they'll be like, oh, no. They'll push it away. You know, it's like we don't want the negativity coming. But when there's a compliment, oh, that's a nice dress. That's a nice hat. Oh, no, I've had it for 10 years. Oh, my hair is dirty. I haven't washed it for 20 years. It's like, doesn't look like that. Somehow we want it, but when we get it, we want to push it away.
We want to push it away. And this is something we have to work very hard at on Breakthrough.
Hmm.
Because the ethos and the... atmosphere of Breakthrough has to be a very supportive one.
Mm.
You've got people who are feeling very discouraged, very crushed, and in order to help people and empower them into change, you need to create an atmosphere where they can feel comfortable, loved, supported, and where they feel that they can say anything and they're not going to be pushed away and judged for that.
Mm-hmm.
But as you try to engage with people in the reality of what you enjoy about them and what you see in them that's good and what's clearly coming across about them in the course, it's amazing how much you see the barriers go down. Oh, no, this can't possibly be true of me.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons that breakthrough can have such an impact on people as you're trying to bring them out of relationship breakdown and towards relationship health is for many people it's the first time they've been in an environment where they have felt appreciated and valued. We're not good at that in British society. We don't do that well. And yet all of us do have fantastic potential. And no matter how much we screwed up, no matter how even deliberately ghastly we've been, it doesn't have to stay that way if we choose to be different.
This is a crazy idea, but if humans were the weather, we would never have a good weather.
That's
that was a crazy thought. I can't believe you've rained during summer. Why are you? It's just summertime. You're supposed to be warm. We're going back at ourselves. And then because we're so enraged, it's during a cold winter time because we just constantly go at each other. Yeah. And what you were saying as well reminded me of a workshop we did, a retreat. And there's an exercise called the appreciative gossip.
Mm.
And what it is, someone will sit down and people will sit behind them. And basically, you're gossiping about this person, but you're saying positive things.
Right.
And it is such a powerful exercise because people had an opportunity to sit down and somehow you because they're behind you, they're whispering, you start to think they're talking about me. So your mind is ready for gossip.
Yes.
But what you're hearing in that space is appreciative comments and positive comments. And people are saying it felt real good. They realized that no matter how much you try and hide who you are, people are very perceptive.
Mm.
And, that was one of the exercises that people really enjoyed.
Yes. One of the things that we sometimes do on Breakthrough Residential Weekends, we haven't done it on every course, but we have done it on a few, and it's certainly something that I would want to see done more often. And it's not original to us. It wasn't something that was invented by Aquila, but it was something that was brought in by a coordinator.
Somebody,
yep. Have you ever played the game Consequences?
No.
Oh, Ade, where were you when you were a child? No, what happened?
I never had a child.
Oh.
My parents.
It sounds to me like you need to go on a breakthrough course.
Right.
What you do on Consequences, and I'm sure many people listening in now will know exactly what I'm about to say, is basically you have a number of people sitting in a circle, and you start a story, but you have a piece of paper, but you just write one line, and it's... he was, you go invent who he was, and then you fold it over and you hand it to your next door neighbour, and then they have to write, she was, and then you fold it over, and they met at, and then you fold it over again, and he said, and then you fold it over again, and then she said, and so of course you get this ridiculous story at the end of it, because everybody has added a completely different thing,
right.
And so, you sometimes end up with these really ridiculous combinations of he said this, and then she said that, so this is called Consequences, and we do a version of it on the Breakthrough course whereby you have a piece of paper with somebody's name at the bottom and you write something about them that you've noticed is a real asset and you fold it over and you hand it to the next person and they do the same, and it's all anonymous.
Yeah.
And because it's anonymous, two incredibly wonderful things happen. The first thing that happens is when you open up your bit of paper, you know that people are telling you what they really see because you don't know who's written what. They've got no reason to be saying anything to angle you or deceive you.
Be your friend or anything.
That's right. Yeah. So what they're telling you is what they're seeing.
Mm.
But the other thing that I find absolutely fascinating about doing this, because I've been on a number of courses where it's happened, so I have been the happy recipient of several of these. I mean, the effect is just gobsmacking, is that... people, of course, they're seeing what's really there, so several people will see it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have this done to you a few times, a message starts to come through because again and again and again and again, the people are saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh my goodness,
this
really is an asset.
Yeah.
And one breakthrough course we did, it was the thing that people actually found the most moving thing of the whole thing we did on the course.
Mm.
Just to actually be told this is something that's real and true about you that's good.
Mm.
We were saying when we did the last show, Ade, we were wanting people to actually get in touch with us here at the studio if they had felt that they'd not had the support that they needed when they'd gone through a relationship breakdown and what support they would have liked. And we also asked you to get in touch if you felt that you had had a lot of support, what sort of support did you get? and how did it help you? We wanted to hear from you on both of those things. I'd like to invite people again to be getting in touch with us here at studio@lifeconversationsradio.com. I'll say that again. It's studio@lifeconversationsradio.com. We'd like to hear from you if you're somebody who would perhaps be interested on going on one of our breakthrough courses. We are running these residentially throughout the year, and we run local courses at least twice a year. So if you'd be interested in finding out more about one of our courses and coming on it, we would love to hear from you. But we'd also love to hear from you if you have had an experience where you have been particularly encouraged or affirmed in something about you that you'd never realised before. How did that get you? What difference did that make to you? We would love to hear from you if that's actually happened to you. So do get in touch with us at studio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
That's the one. And as you were talking, I was wondering, what about... what's the word? Okay, let me just describe what I'm trying to say. Is what about people in a relationship? And they so much want to still be together.
Yep.
But that somehow communication is an issue, or they can't seem to get across what they're trying to say, or the little thing triggers something up, but they want to work at it. Can they take the breakthrough course?
They can, although they would need to come on it separately.
Okay.
Because it's not the kind of course where two people as a couple can do it.
Sure.
The reason being that part of the course, and a really crucial part of the course, is telling your story. Now, I'll immediately refer back to what Sally said earlier. Nobody is made to say anything they don't want to say. And we have had situations, I can think of one course that we ran, where somebody was so broken that literally the only thing he could say is, my name is X, I work for so-and-so bank, and my wife left me a year ago, and actually I can't bring myself to say anything else. That was all he could share, but it was important that he did as much as that.
Definitely.
And as a result of that, and as a result of hearing other people's stories, he was then able, during the process of the course, to begin to unpick a little bit of what his story was about. But sharing your story is very important, because it's about, this is what happened to me, this is where I'm coming from, you know, this is the context in which I'm here. For some people, it's the first time they've ever told their story. But of course, you can't tell that story if your partner is sitting there with you.
That's not true. He's lying.
She's
lying. And you're like,
only time we've ever done it. And I mean, talk about amazing stories. We had Jim and Annette Wheeler's amazing story last week. Talk about amazing stories. We have two other coordinators where he left her, realised what a dread. They actually got divorced. He then realised what an incredible twit he'd been, how dreadful he'd been, how awful he'd been, and he came back to her and effectively re-courted her, won her, and they are now happily married again.
Oh, wow.
And they have made that work. And, you know, this touches on what we were talking about earlier, the whole forgiveness thing. This woman forgave this man because he really had seen what he'd done.
Wow.
And they were able to rebuild that relationship.
Were they coordinators before this happened?
No, they became coordinators.
Okay.
And they're the only two people that we've ever allowed on a course as a couple.
Really?
Yeah, because of that situation. And they did they did our course as a couple. But normally, no. What we would suggest is that people in a situation where they're trying to reconcile their relationships, and we would so want to support that. I mean, obviously, in Aquila, most of the people that we're dealing with, their relationships have come to an end.
Right.
But if there is something still to play for, we're going to be 100% behind them in trying to do that, because, you know, we're about relationship health.
Mm-hmm.
So we would recommend that perhaps one or both of them came on the course, different courses if both of them, because there's so much about the course that actually would help a couple who are seeking reconciliation, because it asks questions like, how did the relationship first begin? Who was driving that relationship? What were the expectations you had in coming into that relationship? Why did you make the decision to come together? Was that a joint decision, or did one of you drive it? What were the dynamics going on in that relationship? What were your choices in that relationship? So, of course, if you're in a situation where you're actually trying to reconcile your relationship, those are exactly the kind of questions you need to be looking at.
Yes.
And it can help people to really identify some very, very, very key issues that they can then take back and either work with their partner, perhaps with a therapist who specialises in couple counselling,
mm-hmm.
or we do actually have a booklet in Aquila which we offer to people who perhaps are very shy about having couple counselling, but who need a framework for being able to communicate with one another. Because as you say, the problem is once the communication's broken down,
things become very difficult. Yes.
But the booklet that we have, which is called Giving Up on Giving Up, provides a framework for people who want to reconcile but only want to work with one another and not with a couple counsellor.
Right. That's powerful. And as you were talking, I always have this weird thoughts. But I think it's a weird thought.
Hey, yeah. worry, listeners. Ado is having weird thoughts here. Ado, do tell us. Do you know, I'm sure this is a man who needs to come on a breakthrough call.
Tell me about it. I need help! I'm over-modulating here. The thing that I'm thinking about is the way you work with people in breakthrough courses and the questions that you ask. And the things that you're having people look at is what we do to children when they're children. We ask them, well, how did that make you feel?
Yes.
Yeah, tell me what happened.
Yes.
You know, we have this listening ear. But somehow, when we become an adult, we just refuse to be that gentle. People say inner child, a little child within you. We become so hard.
This is a terrifically interesting point that you're raising here, Ade, because this is fundamentally a very core part of what sits behind what's known as cognitive behavioural therapy. That inner voices and how you actually talk to yourself are crucial.
Yes.
And one of the points that cognitive behavioural therapists will often raise is that we rant at ourselves. You stupid person, you've done this, that and the other. Or we rant at other people.
Mm-hmm.
As you say, when we become adults, there seems to be some mechanism in us that ceases to have any tolerance for that within us that still needs to learn. And I think that's perhaps one area that we've become very blind to, is that adulthood is not the point at which you stop learning.
Mm-hmm.
Adulthood is the point at which you can learn in whole new ways.
Yes.
But, you know, when you've been to school, you've got the certificates, or you've gone off to university or whatever, I'm an adult now. I don't need to learn anymore.
Right. I know it all.
I know, or I know what I need to know. Yes, you know, there is this thing called life experience, but basically, I've got the toolkit. I'm still building my toolkit.
I'm looking for my toolbox.
Yeah, but that's because you need to come on a breakthrough call.
All right, okay. So if I'm not here for the next 8 weeks, you know why.
I'm going to keep flogging it to you, I'm telling you.
Well, we've got about 5 minutes to go, and I can't even speak now. I just love sitting in on this kind of conversation and joining you.
I think the important thing that we're unpicking here in these programs, relationship is something that touches everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking predominantly about partnership relationships, but relationships of every sort, all of us have them, or if we don't have them, it's a problem. Relationship health is so crucial to everything that we're about. And as we were sort of, coming back to where we started, really, the statistics that we were quoting at the beginning of the show are so horrendous, because what it's giving us is a picture of a nation which at the moment is absolutely infiltrated by relationship unhealth.
And that number is increasing every year.
That number is increasing.
So it's not just 15 billion. It was 15 billion then in 2005, so 2006.
I mean, it's increasing in the sense that if you're saying that there's a year-on-year 165,000 divorces, and the awful truth is that quite a number of those people are going to get remarried and get divorced again. You begin to get an idea of the sheer scale of what it is that we're actually dealing with. And anything, to my mind, whether it be an Aquila course, whether it be one-to-one counselling, whether it be programs like this, all the different things that voluntary agencies that are doing, anything that can promote relationship health in this country has got to be a good thing.
Mm.
And relationship health isn't I'm not just talking about people, you know, jumping into relationships and being terribly la-la happy with the rose-tinted spectacles on. I'm talking about having a realistic idea of what relationships involve, realistic expectations of what relationships involve, and the toolkit and the abilities to actually manage relationships over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. Because every relationship has its ups and downs, and unless you have the tools and unless you have the emotional maturity to go with a relationship through its ups and downs, relationship unhealth is an inevitable outcome.
And put enough time into your relationship like you would put into your work.
That's right. And the problem is so often, you know, we see our work as being something, you know, we have to be there.
Yeah.
Well, you have to be there for your relationships, you know.
Hello.
And I tell you something, if you don't put time into your relationships and that kind of effort into your relationships, when it all crashes down, you will find that every other part of your life crashes down.
Yes.
Because it's actually being in solid, loving, affirming relationships that gives us all the energy and the enthusiasm and the feel-good factor and the quality of life and the contentment to be able to then to input into all other parts of our lives in a very constructive and happy way. You only have to see the impact to employers as a result of relationship breakdowns
exactly.
to know that I'm telling you the truth there, guys.
Right? Because when we narrow it down to, I almost said dollars and cents, but that's a different country. Pounds and pennies.
Pounds and pennies. Rippity bits,
are they? Right. Then it all makes sense. Well, that's the end of the show, unfortunately. But there's more for us to do after the show.
There is.
Well, thank you for listening to Life Conversations Radio, and we'll be back soon. And have a wonderful day, and continue to enjoy this brilliant weather. And if you're listening to the show all over again, even if it's not a brilliant weather, let's say it's raining, look at it differently. It's liquid sunshine.
It's cups of tea.
LifeConversationsRadio.com. Thank you for listening.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.